To say this morning, after yesterday, I took a picture of the church and the parsonage, and I sent it out to Brother Duffer, and I just had done meetings with him in October last year. He's a pastor in Statesville, North Carolina, Pastor Larry Duffer. I know many of you know him. And so he said, make sure you tell the people I said hi. And so he sends his love your way. And know him very well, as I attended, when I attended Ambassador Baptist College, Pastor Duffer came on staff at Southview Baptist Church there, and then I got to know him that well, and it's just a small world, the more you get involved in different places you go, and so we're glad to be with you. We do have a little bit of information about the school. They'll be provided for you. We have a table that has information about our curriculum and such things, and we'll talk about that more in the morning service. Just before the message this morning, Pastor said, why don't you go ahead and sing a solo as well? And I said, yes, sir. So we'll go ahead, and at this time, I'd like to sing a song about an individual who was a very pronounced singer. And he was well noted, and he had all kinds of scholarships and opportunities to be involved in the opera and to make a lot of money and a lot of fame along that route. But he made a decision. He chose not to go that route. Instead, he went into the gospel ministry and sang gospel songs instead. He wrote this song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nailed, pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. If we will, let us take our Bibles this morning. And let us turn to the book of 2 Samuel, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Second Samuel chapter 13, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Nimshiah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, he will say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and he took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, Put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her, for she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for which such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. And then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garments of divers colors that was given on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we have read quite a grievous passage of Scripture. Nonetheless, Lord, thou hast put it here for our admonition. You have not hidden this from our eyes, but you have declared this throughout all ages for this incident to be known. And so, Lord, we pray as we behold these things that we would glean the understanding that you would have for us. We understand we live in a day of much immorality about us. But Lord, we realize that this is nothing new. For in ages past, so it was so. So there was sin. So there was immorality. So there was gross immorality. And Lord, we are praying that upon our hearts you might minister that we would not make the same mistakes that this young man did. Well, thank you for this help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at this passage of Scripture, we realize there is an individual by the name of Absalom. And he had a son. And his son, as we see here, or various sons actually of David, we have Amnon that we're looking at here rather specifically. The title of this short message this morning will be Three Things That Amnon Had. Three things Amnon had. And I'd like us to look first at Amnon, and the first thing that he had is that he had great potential. In fact, you notice here, it says it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Who is this Amnon? What is his responsibility? What is his position? We see first here, Amnon had great potential. How so would you say Amnon had great potential? I suggest unto you, Amnon had great potential because, number one, his daddy was a righteous man. You see, this man's father was King David. King David is spoken of differently than all the other kings of Israel. It is of the only king that is said of him, he is a man after God's own heart. It does not mean David did not have problems or failings, but what it does reveal is he had a heart after God. And when he did fall in sin, he repented of sin, he confessed his sin, he got right with God again because he was a man after God's own heart. We find him contrasted to another man by the name of King Saul, who was not such a man after God's own heart. In fact, in his beginning, he seemed to be humble. In his beginning, he seemed to be a man who feared God, but yet pressure came upon him, and he changed, and he repented not like David did. For he was not a man after God's own heart. We find there is a successor to David, King Solomon, who is the wisest man ever to be known outside the Lord Jesus Christ to walk upon this earth. But yet he is not given such a title as a man after God's own heart because you know in his later days, his heart was turned from God by the multitude of wives he multiplied unto himself. But it's specifically David who has a heart after God. And so we see Amnon had great potential because he had the opportunity to learn from his father David. Let me tell you how good it is to have a good father. I am thankful for my father. My father's not perfect. But my father was determined to raise his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when I came along, my parents decided they needed extra help. I was the challenged child, you understand. And my family was very patriotic. My dad applied the stripes and I saw the stars. You know what I'm talking about. I got more spankings than all of my brothers combined. You can ask my parents. I got three brothers. I needed the most discipline. I was that strong-willed child. You've heard about them, haven't you? Some of you have some of them. And you think, that's the one that's going to give me trouble. And I was that one. So my parents went to the pastor, and they had parent counseling classes. I because I was troubled and they didn't know what to do with me. But I'm thankful they kept at it. They believed the Bible. He that spareth a rod hateth his child. And I can tell you my parents loved me an awful lot. They didn't spare that rod. But as a result, it changed my direction. They never broke my spirit, but they broke my will. And I'm thankful for that. And I can recall times of arguing with my father. And my father would, we'd go back and forth for a couple of hours. My mom wouldn't have anything to do with that. She said, because I said so. That was her answer for if I questioned, because I said so. But for my father, he wanted to provide answers for me. So I would reason with him, and I was determined to get my own way. And after a couple hours of conversation, I can still recall multiple times in which he took his finger and with tears in his eyes, put his finger right on my chest, right where my heart is. And he says, Shane, you know in your heart what the right thing is. And then I'd break down crying. And I'd give in because he was right. And I'm thankful I had a father who wanted to go after the heart of his son. Because that's where the big change happens, in the heart. And if a person has a heart for God, how wonderful it is that they communicate that unto their children, to have a heart for God. How hard it is for some children to follow after the heart of God when they don't see parents who have a heart after God. For what example do they have to follow? I wonder, parents, what do your children hear? Do they hear you complain about church? Do they hear you complain about ministry? Do they hear you complain how hard it is to serve God? Do they see in a parent a heart after God? But you know what this boy Amnon had, this young man Amnon had? He had great potential because he had a father who had a heart after God. We note that his father also wrote many of the Psalms. If that's not a demonstration of a heart after God, I don't know what else would be. Writing these Psalms that would be recited throughout all the ages for Israel as they would sing songs unto the Lord. Do we have anybody here who's ever written any songs? All right, a couple, yeah. I've written a number of songs. You know what I found out? If you just try to, on a whim, sit down and say, I'm just going to write a song, nothing comes. It's like you have to be inspired to do so. And David was inspired by the Spirit of God time and time again. His heart after God is demonstrated in such verses as, a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And Israel would forever sing the song over and over again. Amnon had great potential because his daddy was a righteous man, because his daddy wrote many of the Psalms. But also I'd like you to notice that he was a young man of great potential because he was in line to become king of Israel. When you consider the position upon which the children of the king would have, the firstborn son, typically being the one that would receive the inheritance and the promises and such things. He was an individual that was in line to be king. Now, wouldn't you say that provides great potential? His father is a righteous man, and he has the potential to become the king of all of Israel. I'd say he's a man of great potential. But I like the humbleness I heard of a baseball player who, coming up from the minor leagues into the major leagues, everyone spoke of his fantastic potential, how he was going to be a star baseball player, maybe even play for the Yankees, huh? Well, as he came up, one of the announcers came about and asked about this great potential. The announcer said to this young man, do you know, everyone is talking about your great potential. What do you think of all this talk? You know what that baseball player, humble baseball player, said? He says it just means you haven't done anything yet. That's the reality. Here's a young man by the name of Amnon. He had great potential, but he hadn't done anything yet. Listen, you could be here this morning and you can have great potential for God. If you're saved and you're following the Lord, you can have great potential to do great things for God. But if you're only in a potential stage, it means you haven't done anything yet. So first we see that Amnon had great potential. Next, I'd like you to note that Amnon had a wicked heart. Notice in verse number 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Here we find, obviously, this man has a wicked heart. He's desiring his half-sister Tamar for immorality. Now, lest you get all over Amnon, I want you to understand something. From Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it tells us, "For the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, I want you to consider, who is saying this? This is Jeremiah the prophet. This is called the weeping prophet, who wrote also the book of the Lamentations, who would weep seeing the sin of Israel and would care so deeply for his own people that they would turn unto God, that he was utterly distraught over the matter. And he says of his own heart, this man of God says his own heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I wonder, do you realize in your potential that you have a wicked heart? I need everyone here this morning to understand the importance of understanding that you and I have a wicked heart. You see, if you don't understand how bad you are, then you don't understand the help that you need. It's one of the most difficult things sometimes, leading someone to Christ, to first understand that they are a terrible, dirty, wicked sinner that needs a Savior. But first you must understand where your sin puts you. It separates you from God. Then you can understand the salvation message that God loved you. He came to earth to die for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. And now he intercedes for all who call on his name to be saved. That's the salvation message. But we find sometimes even with those who name the name of Christ, they have forgotten from which they came. I can recall a story I heard some time ago about a man in Beijing. And this man used to be a poor beggar, but he got involved in business and worked very hard and became wealthy. And this wealthy man walking throughout Beijing would always carry a suitcase with him. Nobody knew what was in the suitcase because he never opened the suitcase. Curiosity got the best of one individual who got up the courage to ask this senior executive in charge of this business, "Sir, may I ask you why you carry that briefcase around and perhaps what is in that briefcase?" And he said, "I carry this briefcase around with me because I never want to forget from which I came." And inside of there were the single set of clothes that he had at that time when he was poor. Always carried it with him because he didn't want to forget from which he came. It's an important thing for us as believers to remember from where we came. For there it shows appreciation for our Lord for what he's done for us. And then it also helps us to understand that sin can once again try to get our grasp upon us. And we need to be honest about sin in our life. A lady came to D.L. Moody one time and said, "D.L. Moody, I have this trouble. I start talking to someone and I start exaggerating. And before you know it, I've really exaggerated. And the Lord's convicted me. I just need to do better about this exaggeration." And he says, Mr. Moody, I've tried, I've prayed to the Lord about it, and I've read my Bible, and I just can't seem to get the victory. Can you help me, Mr. Moody? And Mr. Moody says to this woman, Woman, I think you can. I think I can, if you'll listen. He said, Now, ma'am, the next time you find yourself exaggerating, I want you to stop right where you are in your tracks and say, I'm sorry. I have just told you a dirty, rotten, filthy lie. Would you forgive me? And the woman said, Well, Mr. Moody, it's not that bad. Mr. Moody said, Woman, until you're willing to call sin what it is, you'll never be right with God. We have to be honest about our wicked heart. We have to agree with God about our wicked heart. In fact, 1 John 1:9 demands it of us. If we confess our sin, that word confess means to say the same thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I must understand that we have a wicked heart in order for us to be cleansed of sin. We find that David understood his own wicked heart in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We find in Psalm 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb as soon as they go astray, as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Job tells us in Job 5, verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble, as sparks fly upward. Job 14, verse 1, more man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We have a wicked heart. So first we see Amnon had great potential. Secondly, we see Amnon had a wicked heart. And thirdly, I'd like you to notice, and finally, Amnon had a friend. Notice verse 3, if you will. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. We find these three things that Amnon had, and as we look at this last one, Amnon had a friend. Let me ask you, where would Amnon be had he not had that friend? Who is the one who hatched the plan? Was it not Jonadab? Let me tell you, there is a huge importance upon the friendships that we establish in our lives. They often will set the course. Now, we have some definite things here. We have a knowing this is a definite wrong to do. According to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 11, which they would have had, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So Amnon knew without a doubt it was dead wrong. Hence, he felt it hard, in verse 2, to do anything unto her. We find the admonitions of Scripture. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so we find these admonitions throughout Scripture that it does matter who our friends are. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. And so the Lord is concerned about who we hang around with. And let me tell you, this is one of the things, especially with young people, that I've really been concerned about. Because I can't tell you how many young people have done utter foolish things simply because a friend dared them to, a friend introduced them into something. Listen, most people that are involved in drugs have been introduced by someone they've called a friend. It only takes one time shooting up to be hooked, to ruin your life. Most people who get involved in drinking alcohol, it only took a friend to give them a drink. And they would say, oh, it's just a drink. It won't hurt you. One won't hurt you. And most people are introduced into these things by what we would call a friend. One illustration, friends had influenced her to get hooked on prescription drugs. She was forging the doctor's initials. Then the pharmacy figured out something wasn't right and the cops showed up. Now she has a felony on her record and can't get a job, all because of the friend that she chose. Another man by the name of Dan started hanging around the wrong kids from the Christian school. Yes, you can have bad friends there. And started into drugs. He was the president of his youth group. He led people to Christ. He won several Awana awards. By the time he was 19 years old, Dad told him to get out. He kept hanging out with wrong friends, then finally arrested for drug trafficking. The drug traffickers through the prison system reached through to him and hanged him with his own belt. The Saturday before they did this, my pastor of my home church was able to lead him to the Lord where he saw genuine repentance. But he got there all because of a friend. My home pastor was 15 years old on the farm, and they would swim at lunchtime. A fellow who was just learning to swim was influenced to jump off a bridge. Because the water was deep, he never came up again. All because friends dared him to do something. Listen, I would love to tell you this morning the value of good friends. And the destruction of bad friends. I am thankful that in my life, and I tell you, I believe it was protection of the Lord because I was a troublemaker as a kid. And my friend experience began in kindergarten. And here I was going to kindergarten, and I was the first one to memorize all the numbers 1 to 100. I was doing well, but I failed kindergarten because I couldn't read. I still love math to this day, and now I like reading. But at the time, I had a hard time with reading, and so the teacher held me back. Well, you know, that second year in kindergarten, I spotted a fella I'd seen before, the year before in kindergarten also. His name was Jonah. And to this day, Jonah is my best friend. We repeated kindergarten together. That was the beginning of a wonderful friendship. I didn't know anybody else. So I stuck with him. He stuck with me. We started going to each other's house. We started doing things together. And we were just the best of friends. And I can recall in elementary school in particular, he came over my house. We'd go to each other's house quite a bit. And on this one occasion, my older brother had gotten one of them gumball machines. The little plastic one. You know, you put the dime or the penny in, you slide it across, and a gumball comes through. Now, this was a big deal, because in my family, we didn't have candy or gum. It was forbidden. So was soda. We didn't have any of it. But praise God for grandparents. Amen. And so grandparents had provided this gumball machine for my brother. And so he had this for the time, as long as the gumballs would last. And so I was very interested in having some bubble gum for my older brother. And so I go to my older brother and I say, Bruce, I'd like to have bubble gum. And you know what that rascal told me? If you want it, you have to pay for it. Come on, this is my brother. You mean he's going to make me give him money, put money in his machine in order to give me bubble gum? And so Jonah and I were up in his room, and he went downstairs for something, and here I was all by myself. And so I opened up, unscrewed the top, and I was going to help myself to the five-finger discount. You know what that is, five-finger discount? I'm going to reach in myself and grab it. And so I go in to grab that piece of bubble gum, and you know what happened? My friend Jonah said, you can't do that. That's stealing. I was really stuck. I mean, he's my best friend. I didn't want to lose my best friend. I didn't want my best friend to be mad at me. but I really wanted the bubble gum. So I decided I'd rather have my best friend to be happy with me than to have the bubble gum. So I didn't steal it. And there's an example of a good friend. A good friend, when he sees you going down the wrong road, he says, wait a minute, you don't want to do that. Don't do that, that's wrong. I was just a kid. He was just a kid. But he influenced me for good. That's the value of a good friend. Now I'm thankful we're still friends to this day. We call up on the phone. He lives in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And we'll usually, my wife can attest, if we get on the phone, it's hours. So I don't call him all the time. And that time we talk, it's almost all about the Bible and the scriptures and the Word of God. But it didn't stop there. That was all through high school. Then I got to Bible college. And when I got to Bible college, I got some wonderful, wonderful friends. Let me tell you how good one of those friends is. I would sit up at night in the bunks of the dormitory, and in one particular room, we actually had 12 bunks in one room. Long run. The Clipper. You guys know where the Clipper was? And so there was 10 guys in that room. So it was two extra beds, okay? And so I was on the top bunk because I didn't get there as soon as some other people. Believe me, when you go to Bible college, you want the bottom bunk. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. When I was a kid, I wanted the top bunk. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, amen? And so I wanted the bottom bunk. It made a lot more sense. Well, I was stuck in the top bunk, and I had another fella, and we would talk about Bible things all night long. Developed a wonderful relationship with each other, and then you know what happened after I graduated college? I was single. And he calls me up on the phone, and he says, there's this girl you got to meet. He was already married a number of years, and I said, okay. You know who he introduced me to? My beautiful wife, right up here. Because David, my friend David's heart was after God, and my heart was after God, and we shared this passion we had with one another. We had appreciated and mutual respect for each other. And so when he had a suggestion, it meant something to me. Because other people suggested things as well, but I wouldn't always take them up on it. But because of a good friend, I'm thankful. I have other good friends as well. Let me tell you, there's a stark contrast then between that and a bad friend. You listening to a bad friend can utterly destroy and ruin your life. So the action that must be taken and should have been taken in Amnon's life is that he should have removed Jonadab from him, but he did not. You know what you need to do? If you have a friend that wants to take you the wrong direction, you need to cut them off. And you know what you find happens when you cut them off? The Lord provides and replaces it with good friends. You know, for a time, you might have to be alone for a while. But I can tell you, when you follow in the Lord's step and he gives you good friends, they're better than anything in this world. I thank the Lord for friends. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning and Sunday school lesson. We pray, Lord, that each one of us would be admonished to understand the potential we have in Jesus Christ, to also understand the wickedness that is within our heart. Even after we're saved, we have the flesh within sight of us. And Lord, help us to remember that we need to be wise concerning whom we choose for friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor. Amen.